following is an exclusive presentation of Rave TV.
I think general managers are going to be more in a hot seat than head coaches.
People have posed as me on Facebook before.
I don't know if one way or the other is better, but I know that we won a championship by letting men be men.
Hey everybody, welcome in. It is Friday, which means it's time for Purple Passion. Brett Harris here, and we have our round table of opinions and personalities. Kyle Richardson, Stan White is back. The veteran is on the desk.
Grizzly veteran.
Kadri Ismail. We got half the, or actually what, two-thirds of the broadcast team for Sunday's game.
Yes,
so we'll have a lot of knowledge being thrown around today. Last night, Thursday Night Football, of course, Peyton was throwing it around. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it. I will admit, I watched about 5 minutes of it, and then I went to the DVR. I watched Nashville from Wednesday. I watched the league. So I was a little busy. I didn't watch a lot of football. So you guys fill me in.
The biggest thing I thought was just the fact that, again, you're talking about Peyton Manning getting another team to 10 wins. This time the Denver Broncos. You thought that his career was left for dead because of the neck injury. He's being as efficient as ever. He's using no Sean Moreno effectively. And it just seems that that system that he has in place and how he leads that team is it's his team, and he's done a phenomenal job with it.
You guys get a little scouting because we'll see the Broncos in a couple weeks.
Well, yeah, he looked good. I don't know that he has the same velocity he's always had, but he knows where to throw the ball, which is the key. He can see the field so well. Although he did throw a couple of picks, he kept Oakland in the game for a while last night.
There was a nice pick by the Raiders guy, but you could also say that there were some opportunities that Carson Palmer made in the first half too. So those are things that the Ravens could look at against their defense, Denver's defense as well.
The one thing I look at, it's a division game, so you're always going to kind of get that sloppy play just because of the fact that they're very familiar with one another.
That's a great point. All right, this week, Ravens, Redskins, and of course, that means RG3. That's been the talk all week. So let's kick this thing off and take a look at the Rookie of the Year balloting, if you will. RG3 is certainly on that list. Andrew Luck is having a great season there with the Colts. Russell Wilson out in Seattle. I think the other good quarterback there is a rookie. And Doug Martin, the running back, over 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. Certainly RG3, and I think his passer rating has just been phenomenal. 17 touchdowns, just 4 picks. That's pretty darn good. He's making good decisions. For you guys, who would you vote for right now?
It'd be a tough one because Andrew Luck's doing a great job. He has 17 touchdowns, but he has 16 interceptions.
Right,
but
yeah.
Completely different system. RG3 also brings the running aspect to it, which we'll see this weekend. Obviously, I think that's a tough battle. I think it's going to go down to the end of the year. If one of them gets their team to the playoffs, the other one doesn't, I would pick that guy.
You know, how about Doug Martin, who we know he was a first-round draft choice, but you didn't think he would have that big of an impact. And his division is such a tough division to play in. I think at the same time, the phenomenal job that he's done with just the explosive element that he has brought to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers running game. I think Greg Schiano, he's just licking his chops as far as just how he has that physical style, but yet explosive ability. I'm a huge fan, and the way he's been able to just really, I think, take over as a young player.
No doubt, he's done great.
Go ahead,
Alfred Morris, though, the guy we're going to see this week, has the same number of yards as Doug Martin, 1,106 yards. So.
It's definitely between the two, Luck and Griffin, but, you know, Russell Wilson, you can make a case for him out in Seattle.
Yep.
19 TDs, has more than both of those other guys, and his interception rate is actually less. He has 8 INTs on the season, but he's a guy.
Away an interception or a touchdown pass because of what happened in the Green Bay game.
Away.
You know, it's on the records now. But you know, is it because of the perception of Seattle being out in Seattle? They're not on the national television.
He was the number one pick. He was a third round pick. Yeah, that all works against him.
Although being a third round pick should work for him, because he's maybe overachieving. I do like that aspect of it. Let's go to topic number two, guys, and we'll see this Redskins offense this week. We've heard the pistol offense. It's a little bit different, has the feel of maybe a college offense. We've seen it run at Oregon, and RG3 runs it so well. Let me start with you, Stan. We've got some plays to look at. We're going to start with you, Stan, to sort of break this down. What should we expect when we watch this game this week?
Well, first of all, this brings everybody up. Watch the linebackers on this play. Watch what they do when he fakes to the fullback. They are so far up, there's a great distance between them and the defensive backs. And that's why, to me, he only has 4 interceptions. He's got just so much space. If you watch 93, 50, 55, 59 here, watch those three guys bite up Now, watch 55. He has to turn backwards and run. There's no way he's going to be able to cover a zone.
And then what I love about it from a wide receiver standpoint, it gives you just a greater feel to work in. You're not worrying about linebackers getting into the throwing lanes. And at the same time, that particular route, heck, that was a beautiful post corner route. And that was textbook, something that you would see in 7-on-7. But because of everyone sucking up, as Stan pointed out, now RG3, he's sitting back. And if you do run that great route, which his receiver did, now it's easier for him to go ahead and throw the football down the field. There's a lot that goes on there, but it's all about freezing a defense and making that defense think.
And I think that there's also going to be, the Ravens are just going to have to say, you know, they're going to give up a few plays here and there. If they can get to a point where they play better red zone defense, then they got an opportunity. If they can keep their offense, Ravens offense, on the field more to keep him off RG3, then they have a better chance.
But that's the type of throw you have to make him make. That's the toughest throw, that 15-yard sideline throw. You saw late in the game he completed the slant right over. That's the easy throw. Don't let him have the easy throw. Make him make the tough throw, which is all the way out to the sideline.
We're going to take a look at the next play. And Stan made a great point about the linebackers, and I almost could hear them saying, oh, it's a family show. I'm not going to finish that sentence. But it was like, oh, no. You saw them turn their hips. Oh, no.
Absolutely.
Let's take a look at the next play.
Well, this is part of your read option here. You'll see the two outside guys at the bottom of the screen get sucked in.
Look at the space.
Griffin just runs down, and that's where they want him to run. They want him running outside where he's less chance of taking a big hit. If he ran through, now watch 21 or 20, the two guys on the right-hand side of the screen. They didn't both need to go down there. One of them could have made the play, and they both went inside. RG3's looking at that end man. When he gets sucked in, he just picks the ball out and takes it and uses that 400-meter hurdle speed.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is discipline. If Dean Pease is going to preach anything, and, of course, we're talking about him being familiar with running that style of a system anyway when he was a college coach, but it's all about discipline. Who has that dive guy? Who's going to be disciplined enough to stay with that guy? And the end, if it is the end that's going to be responsible for the outside running of RG3, well, I know one thing to be sure. You're going to have to come to balance. You're going to have to set that edge and make sure he doesn't get outside of you because, yeah, you're talking about an explosive athlete like RG3 who can make you miss and can get big plays down the field. You've got to be disciplined.
It is an offense all based on trying to break down and get a misassignment. And this week with Terrell Suggs being out could make it a bigger challenge for the Ravens.
And the other thing it does, it holds people and makes them hesitate. Ooh. If that end stays back like he's supposed to, then that means you don't have to block him. That means that's why Alfred Morris has 1,100 yards because he has one less defender that's trying to tackle him. You can't just flow to the ball.
Absolutely. Courtney Upshaw, think about it, at Alabama, all the different offenses that he has seen as far as that style of offense. Right. I think he'll have to reflect back on what he needs to do this coming game.
It's funny. I talked to Dean Pease this week, defensive coordinator. He said that word, discipline. We talked about mismatch. It's, I mean, like you guys were there. That's what this is all about. You are in his mind.
A lot of work to do.
By the way, you can get involved in the show through Twitter if you send your tweet and hashtag it Purple Passion. We will get it on the show. We've got a couple of those coming up a little bit later. Also coming up, how about some Pro Bowl voting? The Ravens are all over the place. We're going to break that down. We got some guys who are going to be heading to Hawaii. Stick around. Purple Passion continues.
The Maryland Lottery's presentation of Purple Passion is brought to you by the Ravens Cash Fantasy Scratch-Offs, only from the Maryland Lottery.